Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Wolf Sports Show. Happy New Year. We're at the final week of the NFL regular season. Two playoff spots up for grabs, one in the AFC, one in the NFC. In the AFC, the Broncos appear to have a good shot to take that last spot. If they beat the Chiefs, who are resting many starters, Denver's in. If they lose, it opens things up for the Dolphins first, who face the Jets. If they win and Denver loses, Miami's in. If the Dolphins also lose and the Bengals beat the Steelers on Saturday night, then Cincinnati's in. But yeah, Denver good at home this year, 5-2. They should get in. Then in the NFC, it's just the NFC South up for grabs. Bucks face the Saints, who we know are depleted. If Tampa wins, they're in. If they lose the Falcons, if they beat the Panthers, who are also extremely beat up, then Atlanta would get in. And maybe the regular season game of the year, with such high stakes, two 14-win teams, Sunday Night Football, Lions, Vikings in Detroit. Fantastic matchup, obviously, with so much on the line. That bye, the home field, loser plays a road playoff game on wildcard weekend. So thankfully a good one to end the regular season, game 272. Unfortunately, week 18, somewhat weak with guys resting and whatnot, including the Chiefs as mentioned. The Bills can rest with a number 2 seed in the AFC. The Rams, despite 3-4 seed being in play, I'm surprised by the decision to rest some guys, and they might drop down to 4 and then have to face either Detroit or Minnesota instead of maybe Washington. So that's interesting. But yeah, thankfully that Sunday night game, and then on Saturday, at least the AFC North may be up for grabs. Ravens can seal it. Facing the Browns at 4:30 Eastern, they happen to lose. Steelers have an opening to get the division. But either way, Pittsburgh playing for seeding 5 or 6. In the AFC, in a potential matchup with the Texans, sort of reeling as the number 4 seed. But yeah, next week we'll be diving into the playoffs a bit. So for this final regular season episode, just going to run down all 32 teams. And for the teams that look like they won't be playing in the playoffs, we'll get some thoughts on them heading into their off seasons. Just going to go by the league-wide standings, starting with the Chiefs, 15-1. The offense with Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, playing his second game on Christmas Day against the Steelers, has Patrick Mahomes looking more comfortable, dangerous. That offense clicking now. They'll have a long time off, resting this week and then the bye. But the defense was already getting going as of late. Now the offense looking dangerous. They just get going at the right time. Lions 14-2. We're behind against the Niners. The Niners, that was to some extent, I guess, their Super Bowl on Monday night. Looking to take down the best team in the NFC, one they beat in the conference title game last year. Kirby Joseph had 2 interceptions, only unbeaten team on the road in 2024, and they've shown they can win shootouts against anyone. The Lions lead the league in points by a decent amount, 533 points, second is Buffalo, 509. Then the Vikings also, 14-2, talked about they match up Sunday night. Should be a tight game, should be an intense game in Detroit. Set an advantage there for the Lions. But as mentioned, very high stakes with the number 1 seed, home field advantage, the bye, potentially tough first round matchup to avoid, all on the line. Bills 13-3. They're a team that I think could definitely use the rest facing the Patriots this week. They're 8-0 home now, Buffalo, concluding their regular season with the perfect mark at home. So that's big to get that 2 seed. Won't go on the road until a potential matchup with the Chiefs in the AFC title game. 13-3, the Eagles as well. Very strong bounce back. No Jalen Hurts with a concussion, but Kenny Pickett played well. Tanner McKee came in and did a good job. Devontae Smith scored twice. AJ Brown scored. Saquon Barkley hit 2,000 yards rushing, 9th in league history to do that. They're not playing this week. It sounded like they don't mind if the Giants beat them in this game and hurt their own draft positioning. It's something we've sort of seen before with the Eagles themselves resting in the final week to get a better draft spot for themselves in the past. One somewhat disappointing thing, Saquon Barkley, 101 yards away from Eric Dickerson's single season record, resting and not going to be able to break that. He said he wanted to. Still an outstanding season for him, obviously, and I guess you could say the 17 games gave him potentially an extra week it would have been to break that record. 11-5, the Ravens, totally dominant effort on Christmas Day at Houston. Defense didn't give up anything. Offense, you see how dangerous they are with a pick-your-poison approach of Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry. Henry started things off. The Texans couldn't stop him, and then Jackson got going, defense improving much better than where they were early in the season and pretty far into the season. They were struggling. We'll look to dominate Cleveland this week and clinch the AFC North. Packers 11-5. Give them credit. They made it a battle. Late looked like they were totally out of it, came back and made it a game against the Vikings. Cornerback Jaire Alexander, unfortunately done for the year. Could maybe return for a Super Bowl appearance, but a knee issue. Had arthroscopic surgery. Tough blow to their upside for sure. But they'll look to get something going, hosting the Bears at Lambeau Field to conclude the regular season. Commanders 11-5. Great thing about them, they're battle-tested. Another very tight win against the Falcons to clinch a playoff spot on Sunday night. 7-2 at home this year. They went for veteran additions this offseason with the expectation of competing immediately, and that certainly worked out. Zach Ertz caught the game-winning touchdown in overtime to beat the Falcons, another team playing for seeding this week between 6 and 7. If they're the last seed, would set up an intriguing first-round matchup against the Eagles. 10-6 Chargers totally blew out the Patriots last Saturday. Ladd McConkey caught 2 touchdowns. He did it against a Patriots team that could have had him early in the second round, traded back, and one of a few rookie stars in what's looked like an outstanding draft class to this point. Also 10-6, the Rams, mentioned them already, talked about their interesting situation with seeding. Resting starters against the Seahawks this week. We'll see Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback. He's underrated, don't count them out in this game. Still a surprise to me. They might be getting down to the 4 seed, pending the results this week, and might have to face the Lions or Vikings in the wild card. Steelers 10-6 as well, struggling as of late. Weren't too competitive against the Chiefs on Christmas Day. Looks like Joey Porter Jr. will be back for this weekend against the Bengals. That's huge, especially looking ahead to the postseason. AFC North appears unlikely, but they need to get healthier and need Joey Porter Jr. in there. As of now, looks like a good shot they face the Ravens to begin the playoffs. 9-7 Denver. I've talked about Bo Nix a ton throughout the season. Had the longest completion last week, 67 air yards, and then at the end of regulation, forced overtime with the 4th down play. Scrambled right and hit Marvin Mims Jr. on the receiving end of both those touchdowns. Fantastic game from him. If you paid attention to the pre-draft process, you heard the things people were saying about Nix, weak arm, low upside, and then you see that longest touchdown throw of the year, longest completion in terms of air yards of the year. I don't know how you can take anyone that said anything like that about Nick seriously. Broncos just, they can't press this week. Just because the Chiefs are resting, it's the NFL. It's not going to be just easy. But 5-2 at home, should be able to get a win and get in the playoffs despite 2 straight losses heading into Week 18. 9-7 Texans, both sides of the ball are very frustrated. CJ Stroud, as I mentioned on last week's episode, struggled. So talked about them last week. They'll look to get something going positive against the Titans to conclude the regular season. They're going to play their starters, but they're going to see how the game goes. I would think they want to get a win and carry some momentum into the playoffs. And then the Bucs look like they should be in. They need to take care of business against the Saints, but 9-7 would be a stunner if they don't get in. Baker Mayfield took advantage of a matchup against a depleted Panthers defense. 5 touchdowns last week. Bucky Irving, another great game. Mike Evans, 2 touchdowns. Tampa, major upside there. Now to the teams likely, according to the odds and what we're expecting to happen this weekend, likely done after this week. The Seahawks 9-7, but favored over the Rams. Good opportunity to get to 10-7, 7-1 on the road if they win this week at LA. So despite the disappointment of not making the playoffs, beat the Bears last week in a defensive battle, and a positive year one for Mike McDonald. At 8-8, the Falcons, the clock management against the Commanders and the loss on Sunday night was definitely head-scratching. Michael Penix Jr. missed some throws, but he came through a couple of times when he needed to. Some key conversions, the touchdown to Kyle Pitts to force overtime to get in the field goal range at the end of regulation, and the poor clock management there. Hard to get over. They essentially laughed at Bill Belichick, the thought of hiring him. Apparently didn't have him in the top 3 candidates or whatever, and he's maybe the best manager of the clock in history. So to see that happen. But Raheem Morris had the defense playing better down the stretch. They'll look to end their season with a win and see what happens with the Bucs. 8-8, the Bengals, again, need the help. But T. Higgins, huge last week, 3 touchdowns against the Broncos in that Saturday afternoon classic. You could see he was basically a difference in the game. I would think they're going to do what they can to keep him there long-term, along with Ja'Marr Chase. one of the big situations to watch this offseason if their season is indeed over after this week. Dolphins 8-8. I like how Tyler Huntley looked last week. Looked much more comfortable in the offense with more time in it. Remember when he started earlier in the year, he had just joined the team. He was starting with great timing, good accuracy. Good for Miami to get a tough win at Cleveland. And credit to Mike McDaniel for getting his team after a slow start of the year to put themselves in position to be at least alive in the final week of the regular season. Cardinals 7-9. Lost to heartbreaker. Chance to upset the Rams last Saturday night. Chance to go ahead at the goal line. Kyler Murray threw a pretty hard pass off Trey McBride and was intercepted. Great play by Kelly Witherspoon on a diving INT. I've mentioned it maybe the past couple of weeks. That was another example, a team learning to win, but definitely a positive step forward for Jonathan Gannon's squad, and they appear to be on the right track. Cowboys 7-9. I guess you could say wheels fell off a bit facing an Eagles team coming off a loss. CeeDee Lamb was shut down, so that hurts not having a player of his caliber on offense. They played hard despite the score. The big question there, Mike McCarthy's job status. Other teams apparently going to be interested in him. The Super Bowl winning head coach. Contract expires with Dallas. They want to explore bringing him back. And it'll be very interesting to see what direction they do go if McCarthy heads elsewhere or they don't renew him. But looking to get Dak Prescott healthy, highest paid player in the league right now, get him healthier in 2025, and need to have a strong draft, I think, to get back in the championship mix. Colts 7-9, the most disappointing loss of last week, getting torched by the Giants, 5 touchdowns from Drew Lock. A lot of noise about, I guess, the state of the roster. They were fortunate to get Jonathan Taylor in round 2 a few years ago. Laiatu Latu could definitely be another star there, but it feels like they need to hit on more homegrown star quality players. They're solid throughout the roster. Quentin Nelson, another all-pro they drafted high. But like in the mid-rounds too, I think they need to have more success in the draft in finding difference makers on the roster. 6-10 Niners mentioned they got up on the lines in the first half. Very injured team, but you see the upside still. Major positive for them. Their draft from this year looked very strong. Especially Renardo Green and Malik Mustafa in the secondary look like long-term core pieces. Could have that secondary and that defense flying around next season and not a team to count out. And we're going to see what happens with Brock Purdy's contract situation. I think he's worth a long-term deal for sure. We'll see what the salary is. You'd think he'd take somewhat of a discount to hopefully try to keep a championship-type roster together. Deebo Samuel seems like they're going to move on from. They signed Ayuk to a long-term deal. Ricky Pierce all flashed the first-round pick in the Monday night loss to the Lions. But yeah, I think they'll be back in the mix next season. Saints 5-11, limping to the finish line here. Lost to the Raiders last week. Need to find a coach. And another roster had injuries, but of course needs work. The quarterback situation sounds like Derek Carr will be back under contract. With the way they started the season, might be some pieces in offense that intrigues a head coach, and we'll see what they get. Panthers 4-12, another team definitely limping to the finish line in the NFC South. Bunch of injuries. I think Bryce Young's proven he's their franchise quarterback, so that's definitely a positive. Now they need to surround him with more talent on both sides of the ball, improve that defense, add more weapons on the outside. Maybe Xavier Leggett can make a leap in year 2, but Young's shown enough he should be their quarterback. The Bears 4-12, all eyes right now on Ben Johnson, Lions offensive coordinator. There seem to be whispers there's a match there. I think it comes down to whether he's confident in GM Ryan Poles, who sounds like he'll be back. And it likely comes down to that, along with, like, if Ben Johnson thinks Caleb Williams is what mostly everyone thought as a prospect and very high on his talent, he might love the chance to work with him as his long-term quarterback and hope the roster can be built from there and the culture changed a bit. Despite he would have to stay in the division, face the Lions twice a year, face the Vikings twice a year, and face the Packers twice a year. 3 teams that don't look like they'll be going anywhere. But I hope for Williams' sake he doesn't land in a situation where it's like constant coaching changes. And I hope they build up that offensive line. Williams has said he's taken a lot of sacks on himself. Not his offensive line fault, but they definitely got to improve the offensive line in terms of both starters and depth. The Jaguars were also 4-12. Looking to end the regular season with another win. They got 2 wins over the Titans in December. Now they face the Colts. They've responded since the rumors of Doug Peterson potentially being fired since that first game when they were blown out by Detroit anyway. I wouldn't count out Peterson coming back, maybe Trent Baalke. The GM will be gone instead. But if they do move on from Peterson, I would think Ben Johnson would be somewhat interested in that job. Looks like a weaker division. Trevor Lawrence, another high upside quarterback. Brian Thomas Jr. looks like a superstar receiver. So Thomas was a hit, but their roster, definitely another one that I feel like they might need an identity in terms of the type of players they want to acquire. Feels like there wasn't much of a plan in putting the roster together and feels somewhat similar to what happened when Baalke was with the Niners, the end of his tenure there, where things fell apart. But a team to watch on Black Monday. Raiders, 4-12 also. Won two straight games, though. Looking for another strong finish under Antonio Pierce. Not quite as good as last year, but they've been competitive down the stretch. Almost beat the Chiefs on Black Friday. And playing solid football, almost beat the Falcons on Monday night. Again, two straight wins. Brock Bowers, he's a rookie star there at tight end. Broke Mike Ditka's rookie record for receiving yards by a rookie tight end. We'll need to find a quarterback. We'll see if they're in on Sam Darnold, if they go for one in the draft. But it's hard to win without a quarterback, as we know. The Jets, sounds like it could be Aaron Rodgers' last career game. He's still at 499 touchdowns after none last week. Would be nice to get to 500 if it is his final game. We'll see, but I would think he might take his time with it. Obviously a legendary career if it is the end. Sounds like he won't be back with the Jets if he does continue playing. They're another team that needs to find a quarterback. They need to find people that know what they're doing to pick the players and build a team. Browns 3-13. Been a very ugly year after making the playoffs last season. They restructured Deshaun Watson's contract, so he should be with the team the next 2 years. Not sure he's shown enough to not just want to cut him loose and go in another direction, but I guess the restructure doesn't totally count them out from maybe bringing in another quarterback and having competition. If he's a backup, he's a backup. Regardless, they need to bring a difference maker in with their first round pick, which could be a top five pick. The Giants, I said how they beat the Colts last week. Stunning upset. Drew Lock, great performance. In that locker room and that coaching staff, they don't care about draft positioning. They wanted to win, as is the case with every team, every locker room. And the thing to immediately watch for them after this Sunday, next week, is what happens with Brian Daboll, Joe Shane, the head coach and the GM. They're in a worse spot than they were when they took over. Went to the playoffs in year one. Roster's gotten worse. Let Saquon Barkley go. We saw in Hard Knocks, really we got an up close look. The process wasn't impressive from what we saw in Hard Knocks. Didn't even consider Bo Nix at quarterback from what we saw. And that's not taking away from Malik Nabers. They really could have gotten them both. Trade, we saw the Texans do it. They moved up. But you could trade future capital as well to get two first-round picks. Nix went 12th. Would have been risky, but Nix looks like a potential star quarterback. Nabers looks like a hitter receiver, but that was a pretty easy pick if you're not going quarterback. But the point is, not sure you can trust a regime that didn't even consider, from what we saw in Hard Knocks, a potential long-term franchise star quarterback and trust them to pick the next quarterback. But we'll see what happens. Been a lot of change in New York over the years. Titans 3-13, not sure about the direction of this roster as well. This is the case with a lot of these bottom of the league teams in the standings. The past two off seasons been aggressive in adding veterans, I guess expecting to compete, and just hasn't happened. They'll be looking for a franchise quarterback this offseason and must do a better job of building the roster, acquiring talent, drafting, including hitting on a quarterback. And then finally, the Patriots, 3-13, but in position to get the number one pick in the draft. If they lose against the Bills on Sunday, the Bills are resting, but if the Patriots lose, they secure the top pick. Would think they'll consider Travis Hunter from Colorado, cornerback, wide receiver hybrid. A cornerback duo with Hunter and Christian Gonzalez would be tough to throw on, and Hunter would also give them some necessary juice on offense. Could also trade the pick and see if they can get a haul if a team wants to trade up for number one for a quarterback like Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. That's another path, but ultimately the Patriots, if they do that, need to do a better job than they did in the past draft, where it felt like they went for need and passed on guys like McConkey. Another team that I guess didn't consider other quarterback options. Drake May, plenty of upside, but we saw they could have gotten a lot of draft picks. It sounded like we didn't get insight to them, but seems like they didn't strongly consider it at all. And knowing how much work is needed there on that roster. Maybe should have. But again, May has upside. We'll see if he can become a superstar caliber quarterback there in New England. So that'll do it for this week's episode. A long episode, a lot of thoughts on the teams that'll stop playing after this weekend. Again, the two playoff spots up for grabs, number seed in the NFC up for grabs. And then next week, the playoffs begin with Super Wild Card weekend. So enjoy all the games. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week ahead of the NFL playoffs.